Hello and welcome to In the House Sports with Jay.
And Jay. Hello, everybody. What's happening on this Sunday?
Welcome to In the House Sports with Jay and Jay. Sunday episode for y'all. June 11th, 2023, episode number 70. Thanks so much for listening this week. We got some this week has been a crazy week. Oh my goodness. It's just been a crazy week with sports.
Like golf, like some live golf.
Live golf. We get the news on Tuesday morning. Dad sends me this text about Liv and the PGA Tour joining together. I'm like, what the heck is this?
You said that you'd have been more surprised if Jean Morant would have been suspended for a year.
I would have been less surprised if Morant would have been suspended for, I think, for life. I think I said I would have been less surprised if that would have been the decision. I would have been less surprised maybe if Michael Jordan was saying he was going to go play for the Charlotte Hornets next year. I was shocked. But at the PGA Tour, they release on their on Tuesday, they release the, this is from the website. This is their official press release. PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and Public Investment Fund today announced a landmark agreement to unify the game of golf on a global basis. The parties have signed an agreement that combines PIF's golf-related commercial businesses and rights, including LIV Golf, into the commercial businesses and rights of the PGA Tour and DP World Tour into a new, collectively owned, for-profit, and okay, bleed, that is the longest sentence ever. I'm not going to read. Yeah, anyway, they're combined.
I think most of our listeners know that the PGA is going to be having a good old party time with their previous LIV participants. At least we think the merge is going to happen, the merger. Time will tell.
Well, it's definitely going to be it was shocking. Again, absolutely shocking that that happened, and the fact that they're going to be joining, and the fact that, you know, I don't think the players were not that happy when Jay Mona I've explained it, and I've explained, imagine if your boss is telling you, "Oh, these are the enemies." Oh, like talking so much crap about the enemies for so long, and then all of a sudden they find out, they look on Twitter and they say, "Oh, looks like we're combining with our enemies out of nowhere after so much crap was being talked about." It's shocking. I couldn't believe it, but it's going to be definitely interesting to see these guys come back. And when I say these guys, I'm thinking Dustin Johnson, Cameron Smith, Brooks Koepka, and the rest of the LIV guys, Phil Mickelson, and seeing them all compete. And, you know, Phil Mickelson, of course, the most heavily brought up name in in-house sports. How is he going to be competing with, you know, Scottie Scheffler? Like, Phil Mickelson, yes, he finished tied for second in the Masters, but he is on a whole different level. You know, Phil Mickelson competing against how many guys were in the LIV field on every week is 48 guys 48. Versus, you know, 100 plus. It's not even like going to be a fair comparison. So, and especially with guys coming from the Korn Ferry Tour, it's going to bring a lot of stuff into effect, especially with these, you know, the PGA Tour has had this new model with designated events and higher purses. But
yeah, I think that what's gonna happen? You and I discussed this, but the LIV guys coming back, first of all, we'll see how easily they're accepted back or what do they have to do to get back. But you and I being golf fans, I mean, when the dust settles and we're actually just watching golf and not talking about this politics stuff, we'll enjoy golf as we always have. But it's going to take some time. You know, we'll reflect back from a year from now or 5 years ago to remember all this, but it will be interesting. You mentioned that the PGA players are going to be getting some equity in all of this. What is Rory McIlroy, because he was the leader, is he going to get $200 million from the Saudi Arabia PN? What is it? PN?
Yeah. So it's basically their investment fund. And when I saw that, basically it was announced on CNBC. I think CNBC is NBC's kind of their business channel. And their leader, the leader of this, I forget his name, but the leader basically of the investments, Andrew Monahan, they went on together, and he basically said that the PIF is an investment of a bunch of different things to boost kind of, I think, Saudi Arabia's image or something. But one of the things is sports entertainment. They pick golf. Yeah, it's going to definitely bring a lot more. It's going to be exciting, you know? It's a lot of money. Whenever there's more money, they can do more. You know, when they're playing for more money, there's more at stake. And I think we saw that a few years ago when Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods were playing for $10 million. That's a lot of money at stake. It's a big, you know, one versus one, the winner gets $10 million. I don't know how much of it went to charity, but et cetera. But if these guys now are getting in LIV over $4 million per tournament, like, it's a lot of money. And especially these designated events on the PGA Tour was over $3 million. It's a lot as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. And then you let me know yesterday that Jay Monahan was saying, we were wondering, like, what's the reason for this? Why is the PGA Tour joining LIV? But I think you told me, I think if I read this right, it's because of the lawsuit. The lawsuit was costing them millions and millions of dollars. And then the purses were going up humongous. And, you know, you take a look at an event like the, I'll tell you, like the Genesis Invitational, right? Tiger Woods premier event. That was, if you look at the increase in prize money from the previous years, in 2020, Adam Scott won that tournament. He got $1.7 million. Max Homa won $1.7 million. Last year, it went up to $2.2 million. Then they increased it this year. John Rahm won that event. He won $3.6
million. Wow, that's doubled in 3 years.
Almost, it's about a 150% increase, right? So it's, and of course, you know, if there's inflation and all that, but the fact that you go from, you know, 1.7 to 2.2 and then go to 3.6, they're saying it's unsustainable. Now with the PIF, as you know, joining with the PGA Tour and whatever it's going to be called, they're going to have the money. These guys are going to be getting a lot of money, but it's also, there's always, of course, the ethical issues and the relation to 9/11. So it's, I don't know. It's definitely going to be the whole thing is going to be, yeah, interesting to see how it plays out. The PGA Tour had a schedule plan for 2024. Now they're going to be joining with LIV, PIF. Meanwhile, Greg Norman's like, okay, I'm not going anywhere. LIV's not going anywhere. They've planned all the way to 2025. So however it plays out, it's going to be
like unknown. I mean, can LIV play on and have its own separate tour, but yet have these guys come back? I mean, it's all to be determined, just for interest. But the Genesis tournament, Mike Weir, the Canadian, Jacob mentioned that the winnings this year, 2023, were $3.6 million.
The Genesis. What about the Genesis?
You're just talking about the Genesis tournament.
Yeah, that was one of them.
I'm just saying, we're just going back for interest. But Mike Weir won that tournament back in 2002.
2004.
And made $864,000.
Still a lot of money.
In 20 years, gone from $864,000 to $3.6 million. So bring your kids up to be golfers and practice. But back to the LIV, time will tell what's going to happen. You know, is McIlroy and Brooks Koepka going to be buddies again? And Sergio Garcia going to be buddies again with Rory? Time will tell, but the equity thing, how much these PGA players that were devoted to their tour, how much money are they going to be getting because they were dedicated? That'll be to be determined. I just can't see all these guys being friends again.
There's definitely bad blood. And you look at the European, like the European Ryder Cup team with like Rory, right? And Rory saying, oh, these were my friends. Like Rory and Ian Poulter, they were close, probably not as close. Same with Sergio Garcia. How's it going to be? But it just puts Jay Monahan, you know, I think he was put into a very difficult situation. He's had to deal with a lot with COVID and now with this, two massive things that he's had to deal with, of course. But it's definitely, I don't know, whatever happens.
Should we just give a brief update? Right now we have the RBC Canadian Open going on, lots of Canadian participants. A Canadian born player has not won this tournament since,
I think,
Jacob,
it was like 19, it was either like 50, 1957 or something, or 60, and, or 68. It was either one of those two.
And right now, currently, Nick Taylor is one stroke back.
He's tied for the lead. There's about a logjam of seven guys tied at minus 13, but Rory is right there at minus 12. Rory looking to win it for the third straight time. He's never won a tournament 3 years in a row. And I was looking at this, other players to win, I think the most consecutive amount of tournaments won of the same tournament was four. Tiger Woods has done that a couple times. But Rory looking to get to three wins in a row in Canada. And especially, I thought you were giving me a fist bump. Dad has his fist up. I was like, why are you giving me a... Rory's never done it. And it's three separate courses. So we'll see what happens with that. Last week, we talked about Rose Zhang. She ended up winning, beating Jennifer Kupcho in a playoff.
This is the LPGA
Tour.
Yes.
She wins.
Yes.
And I think she goes back to Stanford and finishes everything up for this year. And I don't know. I think I read that she's going to be playing a few more events Or she's not going to be playing the next few events on the LPGA Tour.
Can we move on to tennis? Tennis, very important today. The French Open Finals. And who was the winner? Well, Jacob Novak Djokovic won the tournament. Set a record now for men's record for number of Grand Slams at 23. Breaks the tying record with Rafa Nadal. And just for Nadal did congratulate Djokovic on Twitter in quotes saying that it was an amazing achievement. Well, it is an amazing achievement that at 36 years old, Novak is still going strong.
Deep down, Rafa's pissed.
If he had been, as you said earlier today, if he had been vaccinated, he'd probably be at least 25. But congratulations, 23. That passes Serena Williams. She was at 22. And I believe he's one behind the overall 24.
Margaret Court?
Margaret Court, I believe, is 24. Congratulations. The guy's won 10 Australian Opens, 3 French. This is his third French, 7 Wimbledon, and 3 U.S. Open. So going strong, and that's 23 for Djokovic from Serbia. I mean, isn't our Denver Nugget player Jokic from Serbia?
I believe he is. And Djokovic, I was looking this up today, he becomes the first tennis player ever to win at least three majors from each of the four majors. So he has at least three. He's the first tennis player. And I was looking at that. I know that Rafael Nadal was missing. I think he was at – it's interesting. I'll have to look at it again. But a lot of them, like Federer's won 8 at the at Wimbledon. And Nadal's won about 12 or 13 at the French Open. But then he hasn't won as many at – one. But Nadal – oh, wait a second. Sorry, no. That's my bad. Margaret Court actually does. Sorry, have 3. Margaret Court has 3 Wimbledons. That is her lowest.
Total of 24, though.
Yeah, but 3 of those were Wimbledon. So he joins her. He's the first male though to get to 3 of each.
The next tournament will be Wimbledon, and that starts in England on July 3rd. So that'll be the pursuit of number 24. For interest, he is. Won the trophy. He has now held the trophy 11 of the last 20 slams. So, I mean, with all these young guys, up and comers, and him at 36, he's won 11 of the last 20. That's obviously over 50%. Going strong and doing well despite COVID and all the et cetera. So, a big shout out. We spoke about Novak on this show before, and I'm a big fan of his, and congratulations.
It looks like, I'm looking at this right now, Novak has won 23. As you said, and has finished runner up 11 times.
Yeah.
So it's
maybe the best ever.
It's looking pretty darn good right now.
I mean, to see between him, Roger, and Rafa, but it looks like he's number one. Jacob, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, one game away from Stanley Cup champions, they're up 3-1 against the Florida Panthers, and they made it look easy with last night's performance. What do you figure? One more game Tuesday night?
I think Florida is going to...
Apparently Matthew Tkachuk is a game time decision.
I think Florida is going to win the next game, but I do think that Denver is going to close it out.
Oh, you're switching to we're done with hockey.
I don't have a lot to say on hockey. I think that it's impressive goal Vegas, the fact that they've been to 2 Stanley Cups in their six-year franchise history. But I think that Denver, they are looking super good. Jimmy Butler, I think he's still scoring well. He's still scoring pretty well, I think, in the series, but he's not as dominant. So not as dominant as he as kind of in the other series as I've seen him. But I think just Denver is so good, and Jokic is so good, and Murray is just playing how he was playing back in the 2020 bubble. So it is crazy to see. The Denver Nuggets just one win away, and they've been
great
in the
team chemistry,
for a while, and they're just gonna give Jokic and Murray their first titles. They're winning
Let's
away.
Let's hope so. But never over till it's over.
Speaking of Miami, Messi signs with Inter. I think Inter. They're called Inter Miami
FC.
FC of the MLS, and it is a big signing. And it's interesting because we were talking last week on the podcast about what's the most exciting
or
the most liked Miami team, And Inter Miami could become the most liked team. And it's going to be, of course, Messi's going to play. He's not going to play there forever. Probably play there for about less than 5 years. And then all of a sudden, like, the fan base, so when he leaves, it probably won't be as exciting. But you get probably the one of the biggest, most exciting signees.
Probably the best player ever.
To go to the MLS. I'm trying to think of the best other, the best players to come to the MLS. The other ones that come to mind are
Beckham.
David Beckham. And I know Thierry Henry went for a little bit. Sebastian Giovinco was on. Toronto FC. He was awesome for them. I think that I'm looking right now on another list right now on this website called, it's called Canal Now. And yeah, Gareth Bale, he's on Los Angeles City FC. There's a bunch of guys that come over to the MLS. But Messi is going to bring he's going to do some.
He's going to sell a few jerseys, and, isn't
yeah, he? Yeah, Ibrahimovic, he was on LA, but very exciting to see Messi. Oh, yeah, I think it was, right? This looks like it was Wayne. I think Wayne Rooney was on in the MLS. A lot of players go. And of course, it's kind of like, you know, they're kind of their last stint. They retire in America. And then this gives them an opportunity to own part of Miami City FC, and I think, or Miami, Inter Miami, Miami City. That reminds me of Manchester City. Manchester City, they win the Champions League for the first time, and it's a big win for them. I think they won the Premier League, and they won one more tournament as well. I'm not quite sure what other tournament. I think it would, but they completed something called the treble. It might have been. I'm not sure what the other tournament was, but Manchester.
So of course, there's Manchester and there's Manchester City.
Manchester United, Manchester City.
So this is the first time Manchester City has won the tournament.
Yeah.
And the other, and then the
Manchester United, I think, has won it before, but this was a big one. They beat Inter Milan, and they beat them 1-0 yesterday, and with Rodri getting the goal in the 68th minute, big win for them, and
congratulations.
It's very exciting.
Let's hear for Manchester. Big, you know, big for Manchester and big for Miami FC.
Jason's a big Manchester City FC. Manchester City.
We are going to go to a Calvary game one of these days, Jacob, here in Calgary. We do have a professional soccer team in Calgary. Luis Arraez. How do you pronounce last name? A-R-R-A-E-Z. He is the second baseman for the Florida Panthers. Florida Marlins. We're going back to Florida. They're getting a lot of attention. His batting average, Jacob, right now is .402. He's hitting over .400. I mean, that is that's high caliber hitting. He's only that all includes one home run, but the guy is he's just hitting and above average. I mean, every game he was just they just signed from Miami because the last few years he's been with the Minnesota Twins. So it's always neat to kind of follow these guys that are flirting with .400. I know we're only a third of the way into the season, but the next batting average below him is Freddie Freeman of Los Angeles Dodgers hitting .336. So you've got a .402 average, followed by Freddie Freeman at .336 and Ronald Acuna Jr., the Atlanta Braves, .333, and your Toronto Blue Jay, Bo Bichette, at .323. So this guy, Arraez, is just king of the leaderboard for that. And just to give you a bit of a home run update, 22 home runs. Pete Alonso of the New York Mets has 22 home runs. He, however, I believe is injured and won't be playing for the next few weeks. So there's a guy named Aaron Judge who's just behind him at 19 who's been hitting like crazy. Apparently he is apparently he's on the IL or the DL, but they call it the injured list now.
Yeah.
For the next 10 days too because of a sore big right toe. Maybe you should see a good podiatrist in New York if they've got one. I can name a couple. Those are just a little bit of batting MLB statistics. I do want to say that we are continuing to watch Marcus Stroman, and he is up there as far as wins and ERA, and so we're following him. I just wanted to give you a little MLB action.
That's good.
By the way, the Toronto Blue Jays continue to lose. They're losing 5-1 as we currently speak, but the Tampa Bay Rays, the team that's got one of the lowest payrolls, just keeps on winning, and they're being the division-leading Texas Rangers, 7-3, top of the sixth.
The U.S. Open is taking place next week from Los Angeles Country Club. This is insane. I'm reading right now 7,423 yards, and it's a par 70. It is taking place on the loss on the for the first time ever at the North Course of Los Angeles Country Club. It's definitely exciting. It's definitely going to be a really cool tournament. I think every time, anytime they have it at a new course, it's going to be it's cool to see it like on TV, and it's cool to see.
Who do you think is going to win it?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think it's going to be cool to see a new tournament. Anytime they have a new a course, it's going to be awesome. Who do I think is going to win it? I don't know. I don't like to put names down, but I think, like, you know, Scottie Scheffler, he has been so good this year. He's going to definitely be in contention.
Xander Schauffele, what do you think about Xander? Never won a PGA.
I told him when I saw him last year in Memphis, I said, you're going to win a major. Your major's coming up.
Probably the best player never to win a major. What do you think Xander's going to do?
Well, Cantlay is up there too.
Cantlay never won a major?
No. Cantlay is.
Cantlay was,
but Victor
Cantlay was more friendly in Memphis than Schauffele, for what it's worth.
Well,
he said, hello, how you doing?
Schauffele signed an autograph. That's pretty darn good. He rated higher than Victor Hovland, who won the Memorial a couple weeks ago. He said he would come out, never did. I'm still waiting for that golf ball to be signed. No, but honestly, but LA Country Club, I think they have a hole that is a par three, and it is, I swear they have a par three that's over like 300 yards. According to Blue Golf right now, this is for like the members. There's a par three and it's 277. I think it's downhill. It's a par three, 277 yards.
Oh my.
I love those holes that are so long. I remember a couple of years ago there was one. The other par three. Now we're looking at the scorecard for the members. So I think this is only listed at 7,200. But there's another par three. It's 210. Anytime a par three is stretched over 200 yards, it's exciting. I think it's exciting to have, you know, we're going to get back into golf, a lot of golf, but I think anytime a par three is less than like 150 yards, it's cool because there's the opportunity to see a hole in one, but then another one that's over 200 yards to see these guys get on the green, get up and down for all those people who doesn't know what golf is you hit the ball and it's in a hard spot. And then two shots later, they're able to go put it into the bottom of the cup. But it's going to be a really cool tournament to see next week, especially again on the back on the West Coast for a U.S. Open. I think this is the first West Coast U.S. Open since the U.S. Open 4 years ago at Pebble Beach. Do you have somebody that you think is going to win?
Oh, let's see. You know how I always cheer for the Canadians here. Kenzie Hughes not doing so well this week. Taylor's doing well. Connor's no.
How's Koepka going to do? Could Koepka win the U.S. Open again?
No.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not going to. Won't even be in contention.
Two names that I think if you were betting and you're like, who's going to finish in the top 10? Koepka and
Scheffler.
Scheffler, they're good. They're going to be really good. I think John Rahm, you know, can't count out John Rahm.
Like Scheffler, like Rahm, those are obviously ones. McIlroy won't even be close. Lucky to make the cut next week.
Wow, big prediction.
Yeah.
What about Phil? I think Phil
won't be playing on Saturday next week.
I think so.
Is he playing in the tournament?
I think he is playing. He did win the PGA Championship a couple of years ago, which gives him eligibility into the U.S. Open.
Victor Hovland playing well these days.
Victor Hovland's done well in the past few majors. I think he's finished top 10 in the past three. He won last week at the Memorial. He did beat Denny McCarthy in a playoff to take home that week's designated event at Jack's Nicklaus's golf course.
I just want to say, we're going to talk a little basketball just for a moment, but we've been talking a lot about Serbia today on today's show. We got Novak winning the French Open. We got Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, one win away from winning the championship. And yesterday, finally, the Toronto Raptors hired a coach, a Serbian, 44-year-old. His name is Darko Rajakovic. And Jacob always helps me with the pronunciation of my Serbian names. I'm probably not quite saying. Not bad, Jacob?
That was pretty good.
44-year-old assistant coach with Memphis the last couple of years. I'm glad they did not use a recycled head coach. He's an assistant coach. Let the assistant coaches have a chance, just like the Calgary Flames did in hiring their assistant last year. Last name, who's Huska? I can't remember his first name right now. the Calgary Flames. But good luck to the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors have got some free agents. We'll see if Fred Van Vliet's on the team, Gary Trent Jr. I hope they will hang on to Siakam. Rumor has it OG Anunoby's going to end up with the Boston Celtics. Just kidding there, Roberto. But just make sure you're paying attention to this. But again, lots of uncertainty into the offseason. But they do have a lottery pick. I think they picked 13th overall, so we'll see if that helps them. See if that helps them move forward. There's a little bit of more Serbian update. I just want to say he's set to be on. He's the second head coach born and raised outside of North America. There was another fellow, Igor. I don't remember that. I kind of maybe do, but Igor Kokoskov coached the Phoenix Suns for 1 year. I hope this guy lasts more than a season.
It's interesting to see his record and started off coaching a couple, I think, youth teams back in Serbia in the 90s. He coached a youth team for a long time, 90s to the mid-2000s. I think he went to might be Spain, and then he went in 2012 to the Oklahoma City. Well, now they're known as the Oklahoma City Blue, known before as the Tulsa 66ers when he coached, and he's in the G League. He coached, he was assistant coach for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, I think KD was there, was assistant for the Phoenix Suns, Memphis Grizzlies assistant, and now he gets a big opportunity, get that golden opportunity to coach the Raptors. And
I think with a name like Darko, the fans are going to, just based on the name, they're going to have fun with his name and come up with some good nicknames. And Toronto Raptors with a coach with the first name Darko. I mean, it almost gives him an NBA championship just based on his first name, don't you think? Maybe not.
It's a strong name. I think it could be solid. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of other, there were so many candidates. I think it's going to be, it's good. You know, you never know who it's going to be until they make the decision. And
that's right.
There's probably a lot of background and
how about
inquiry that goes into a coach hiring. So
Jacob's now going to give us a PGA Championship update. Again, it's the Canadian
PGA RBC Championship.
The RBC Canadian Open tournament that's going on in Ontario. And we're following it closely because there's a Canadian that is right up there. And a Canadian has not
Nick
won.
Nick Taylor is up on the leaderboard. He's right there, but he's getting chased by guys from all over the world. Three guys from England. You got CT Pan from Chinese Taipei, Mark Hubbard, a stroke back, and then Rory, two strokes back. It's going to be exciting to see what happens. Still a ton of golf left to be played, a ton of golf. And remember, Nick Taylor, he's done 6 holes. Tommy Fleetwood has only done 3. He's got a few holes in hand. Meanwhile, PGA Tour champion Steve Stricker looks to pick up his 4th victory of the season. He's a 3-stroke lead over Colin Montgomery. Well, maybe I'll discuss him in next week. Sorry, Dad's pointing to his watch. He's doing dame time. He's doing dame time. He's pointing to his watch, and
I want to do a shout-out to J&J, Jacob, who we were out for dinner on Friday night. We were out with Jacob's grandparents and my children. My wife was out of town, but nonetheless,
your children?
There was an 85-year-old gentleman at the table next door, started choking. Jacob recognized this, and Jacob saved somebody's life this past Friday. And so congratulations to Jacob, and thankfully this gentleman was fine, healthy, thankful. Make this as a reminder, 2 reminders. One, to chew your food and cut up your food and eat slowly. And the other is to take a course on how to save somebody if they're choking. So a little clap for...
Thank you. Appreciate it. Look up J thrusts and back blows if you take a look online. It's better to do that for now and then do a first aid course. A plug to getting your first aid. It's good. You never know when you need it. And I'm glad I was there and able to help. I think I'm most looking forward. There was a lot of champions this week. Novak Djokovic, Manchester City. We're going to be seeing more champions this week.
Lionel Messi.
Yeah, but he's not, I guess it's a championship kind of move for going to Miami. But LIV Golf, that was the thing that really shocked me this week. That was the biggest takeaway. How is it going to be when these guys are playing for, you know, like, is there going to be sponsors anymore? Is there going to be Workday? Are they going to sponsor RBC? Like, is this going to be next year the PIF Canadian Open? I have no idea.
It's going to be PIF everything.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Have a great day. Dad, take us away.
Have a great day.